Committee of Rules of Ethics will come to order. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Bufflehead. Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Archie, Congressman Mason, would you provide prayer, please? Thank you.
Then Roxy will come. Come to the chief. I want to come. Mighty Father God, we come this day and say thank you again for the breath of life you've given us this morning. Be with us this day and bless the leaders of this nation, Almighty Father. Bless all that make those decisions, especially at this moment around this table. Bless those that are present. Special blessings upon the staff here of this Congress, Almighty Father. Do such a good work for all of us and for the people. We thank you, Almighty Father. We ask for, again, blessings and allow us understandings, good fellowship, goodness here in this place. If there's anything that does not belong here, we ask you to remove it, cast it away. As we said once before, Satan, get thee behind me. That means get out of here. All you demons, bad things, get away. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes.
Approve the minutes as presented.
Second, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed? Next item on the agenda is rules violations. Yesterday, we had a situation where several of the members did not comply with rule 4.2. In terms of submitting the fact that they were going to be absent and a reason for being absent. Rule 4.2 says that a member must submit a reason for being absent from session in writing to the clerk and to the committee chair in the case of committee meeting. I don't think that's entirely clear. And so my question is whether we need to revise that rule and make it clear that it needs to be the fact of and a reason for being absent, and if we need a time frame on there. And the reason I say that is because I know that yesterday, in accordance, or day before yesterday, in accordance with the rules, the speaker was trying to ascertain whether she was going to have a quorum. And at the end of the evening, about 6 o'clock, she advised that she thought she was. So we showed up yesterday thinking that session was going to happen and that there would be a quorum, and in fact there wasn't a quorum. So to me, the purpose of this rule is so that the clerk knows who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. It's not a matter of the fact that you're not here. It's the fact that there's not a written record of whether someone's going to be here or not, and therefore the speaker and the other members can't anticipate. So Rule 4.2, I didn't put it on the agenda for today, but Rule 4.2 is the rule that talks about that you must submit a reason for being absent, but I think it needs to be clarified that you submit the fact that you are absent or going to be absent, and then perhaps a time frame so that the speaker can react I don't know, have you, I don't remember that coming up ever in my time. Archie, do you?
Only in the very beginning, when we didn't have rules necessarily. There were times when we would have, I don't recall we ever did not have a quorum. Well, I remember members that were absent for this reason and that. We probably didn't have to write it down at the time or do that. And I was one of them, I was absent a couple of times, but we didn't have a rule. I don't remember that we had to do that. Thus came a rule that we need to acknowledge. And at the time, I was sitting as the speaker. It was comfortable and handy just to know that somebody in advance was going to be absent. That just helped me out, helped the clerk out at the time.
Dr. Shaw, you and I are the ones that live the farthest away and probably have pressing professional obligations. What do you, have a copy of the rule. What do you think we should include in the way of clarification for the rule?
Time frame probably reasonable, but it needs to be very generous in terms of allowing for last minute contingencies that come up, realizing that they do come up. A committee or someone would have to weigh whether the merits of that contingency warranted an absence that threatened a quorum. And I guess if the congressman has to decide whether he or she thinks that it's enough to warrant this kind of a near unannounced or unnoticed absence from the Congress. Most of us can think of very easy ones, but there are some that perhaps not quite so dramatic. It's a family illness or a personal medical issue that comes up late. But most of them are not like that. I think if it were something like that, and everyone knew that, regardless of whether it was submitted in writing or not, I don't think they'd be called before this committee. There may be a different feeling about the ribbon cutting yesterday, but no, that's okay. I'm willing to discuss what happened from my perspective.
Congressman Mayhew.
What I have done in the past and been here for a while is let people know in writing to do that. And the reason is not so much internally here, it's externally out there, because there's always critics who want to check your attendance record out there for one reason or another. That was always just to notice and have my personal file out there, a record of my absences. And like Dr. Shaw said, sometimes we never know if your spouse or your companion has got an emergency illness and you just have to leave. You just got to go. And it wasn't planned, but I have to get back and take care of this matter at home. Then you come back after the fact that I was absent because. And it just goes in the fog. But it's just something that some may not be realize that just to have that paper trail can be supportive of your position here. And that's just what that's why I do mine.
The other thing that should probably be addressed is whether you want your reason for absence stated on the record. I know the speaker has asked me before, and probably you guys when you're absent, do you want me to announce the reason for the absence or not? So,
doesn't bother me.
I always have the speaker announce if I'm absent. And I want to say my first term, I think I had it was in the 90% that I was here, but the first week that I was in office, my grandmother passed away, and I went down to Texas, and I was gone, 3 days. But and then last year, my dad got sick. When we bought the land, I wasn't here for that because he was in the hospital and sick. So I always had them announce because I'm really the only times I think I can recall missing are when someone has passed away. So I don't know. But I like having the speaker announced because I want the people to know why I'm not here. They're paying me to be here, and that's, I'm going to try to make every effort if I can to be here. And if I'm not, then I think they deserve to know why.
Okay, so I'm going to take those comments and try to draft a, an addition to this rule. We were talking about the fact that the rules currently states a member must submit a reason for being absent from session in writing to the committee, to the clerk of Congress and the committee chair in the case of committee meetings. But it doesn't say that you have to state that you're going to be absent. It just says that you need to give the reason for being absent. So I think it needs some clarifying language. And then we wanted to set a time frame, you know, in, except in the absence of emergency, 24 hours or something like that. Because there's another rule that says that the speaker can postpone a session when it's anticipated that there won't be a quorum. But the speaker can't anticipate that there's not going to be a quorum unless the speaker knows who's going to be here and not here. So I think this rule will help the speaker know whether to postpone or not. Congressman Mason.
I'd like to ask another very important person, the clerk of the Congress, is that, how does that, you're the clerk, so we let our paper trail flow through your office. Is that, do you think that's, what value is that?
I think being able to determine if we're going to have a quorum is extremely valuable, personally, because there's a lot of prep work that I do to prepare for session, and then that's time that I could be spending on something else if I know ahead of time that we're not going to have a quorum. But everything that comes, you know, any notices that I receive, I forward on to the speaker if they haven't already been, if she hasn't already been CC'd on it. And most of the time when I get the notices from different Congress members, the speaker's already been CC'd. But I have a file that I slide it in, and if there's any questions at any point in time, those are all put in your files with your absences. So it's just a hard copy file.
Well, it says here in our rules, we submit a notice or something right to the clerk, that'd be you, mm-hmm. and to the committee chair. Doesn't say anything about the speaker, letting the speaker know. And that's what we've all been kind of saying, if the speaker knew.
Well, I mean, my impression is that when the speaker is setting the agenda for the next day with the clerk,
right.
that the clerk can then say, that happens at about 3 o'clock the day before. Mm-hmm. Speaker can then say, how's it look? And if the clerk says, I've got five people going to be absent, then the speaker can then react and, or let, you know, if it's ahead of time, I mean, the clerk and the speaker interact quite a bit. I think actually the clerk probably checks her email more than the speaker.
Well, I'm just thinking too, because both of you being professionals, if you had a doctor who's going to be absent or an attorney or somebody that's going to be absent on a given time, how many people really need to know that? You know, who are the key people that need to know that? I know in the school system back then, you know, had to let either the principal know, or if you're a principal, let the director know. If you're a director, you let the superintendent know. Kind of flowed that way, so. Maybe just leave it like that is okay. Because if a committee chair's got something planned, and you know, there's not that many on committees sometimes, it's important.
Yes.
So maybe a speaker doesn't need, I don't know.
Shannon, whenever someone is absent during a session that didn't, to your knowledge, did not give you anything in writing, but it wasn't enough to cause lack of a quorum, do you report those out to the chair of this committee or to the speaker that you didn't get written notice, but you know, they went on?
I have not done that in the past. That has not been something that I have done in the past. Most of the time, when there's just been one or two people absent, like today, Congressman Norris is absent today, all day, for medical appointments. Well, he gave me a notice on Monday. He gave me a note on Monday. Most of the time when there's just one or two, I'd honestly would have to say the majority of the time I've had written notice. Yesterday I was that was really kind of the exception. Very rarely have I not had written notice for the people that were absent.
Yes.
You mentioned yesterday it was different. I really feel like the circumstances were extraordinary yesterday, in that you know, the evening before, the speaker, in her effort to try to ascertain whether there was going to be a quorum, was actually going around the table in the back with the steno pad, with names, writing out whether they were committing to be there or were going to be able to be there. And she specifically asked me, and I said, no, I'm going to the ribbon cutting. I saw her mark something down. So my mind may have told me that surely that's sufficient, but it's true. I didn't adhere to the letter of the written notice to the clerk, so I acknowledge that. It's certainly not the same, although I'd have to say pretty close for the speaker to be going down with the steno pad. And I was actually going to attend the meeting yesterday until I was advised by the clerk that I was actually on the program yesterday. And I thought, well, I'd look bad if I just didn't show up and I was on the program. Granted, they didn't put the program out till 8 something in the morning. But again, I figure those were extraordinary circumstances yesterday. And so that's kind of what my piece happened. And I was actually going to come, even though I had told the speaker the night before I wasn't going to be there. But I got too much work to do. I can't spend a couple hours over there. I need to be here and get some work done. And then dropped everything and took off the Fairfax after the clerk advised me. So.
Again, that's, I too was on the program. And for some of us, you know, it's that's region, that city, that town, that people, they're important to us, and we to them, because we're all involved with that solely group over there. Other than that, that's, you know, it's, if the rule needs to be fixed, we'll need to fix it and make it better or clearer.
Right. You know, there was a lot of moving parts yesterday that could have gone differently and resulted in the ability to have a session yesterday. Could have met earlier, could have met later. But the point is, it's not really the speaker's responsibility to try to figure out who's coming and who's not. It's really the member's responsibility to write in, and then she can, or he can, react based on the members fulfilling their responsibility.
Maybe that's a key word that needs to be in it, just responsibility. It's your responsibility to do that, or it's your decision, or what, something.
Okay, I'll
each member, something like that. You just, you know, it's a courtesy, and it's a responsibility, because sometimes these things, we get a special need to be absent. And for the most part, I think everybody was back in the afternoon, you know, attended their meetings and so forth. They just a block of time they're absent.
All right. That's why I say it could have done with enough advance notice, which if somebody, that's why I say if we have 24 hours, then the clerk would have known, the clerk would have told the speaker, and the speaker could have said yesterday or day before yesterday when we made our decision about when to meet, we will not have a quorum at 10 a.m. We could have a quorum at 1 p.m. We could have a quorum at 9 a.m. Let's discuss this before we decide when to adjourn. And that's just, it's just communication, and it's, but a lot of it is courtesy for people that are trying to plan their lives and need to rely on the courtesy of the other members to respect that.
Maybe that's more of an important word, courtesy, than it is responsibility. That sounds kind to our colleagues. It's a courtesy to the group and what happens.
Well, as you and I discussed when we started this 11 years ago now, we had a period where there was a lot of contention and things happened that weren't very courteous to and professional, and I do not want us to get back into that mode, because it's dysfunctional and it results in not being able to get the business of the Congress done.
The other aspect, sure, too, is that the speaker is not always going to have the opportunity to poll the members of Congress.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of there's a lot that she or he is taking care of. And yes, she took the time to try and poll Congress members to see if we were going to have a quorum, but that's not always going to be the case. She's not, that person's not always going to have that opportunity to do that.
4.2.1, I think the clerk is the key person in that particular rule, that particular section.
Anybody that wants to submit some suggested language, I'll put it on the agenda for next Thursday with an eye towards getting it out and presenting it to the Congress. Let me thank Dr. Shaw for coming today and participating. I'll let you know that I asked other members, actually asked all other members, if they would like to participate. I specifically asked three other members, and two of them indicated they couldn't be here. One of them indicated that this is a big waste of time. I have the email if you want to see it, but I think that underscores my fear that we are delving into a place where we don't need to go in terms of professionalism. Okay. Anybody else have anything on 4.2? Next item on the agenda is, well, the other thing I will add on this is when rules are violated, all I know is to come to the Rules Committee and discuss it. There is some language that the Congressional Affairs Committee disciplines members. I don't know that there's a segue between rules conduct and discipline. I think there is a segue between ethics problems and discipline. I don't know if there needs to be more discussion on that, but I can tell you, having worked, and this group having worked on these rules for a long time, that the attitude is that this is a big waste of time, and I'm just going to snub my nose at you because I can is really disheartening. Yes. Okay, next item on the agenda is proposed rule additions and revisions, Congressional Rule 8.1. Sure. You want to keep helping us? 8.1 is call to Congress. Was discussed a bit yesterday. The assistant principal chief apparently really enjoyed this discussion. But this is part of our rules. Call the Congress. Call the Congress may be moved at any time by any member, but must be seconded if such a motion prevails. The business pending shall be suspended. The roll shall be taken, and the names of the absentees ascertained. The sergeant at arms shall then be directed by the speaker to compel attendance of the absent members. In all cases where an absent member shall be sent for and fails to attend in obedience to the summons, the sergeant at arms report shall be entered in the journal. So to me, the question is, if a written absence is turned in, clearly you would think that the sergeant at arms is not going to be able to go find somebody that's absent. And the other thing I want to say is, it's quite possible that somebody at some point doesn't really think the public needs to know why they're absent. So that's why I think we need to include that you express whether you want the public to know or you want the announcement to be made, the reason why you're absent or not. But anyway, I think this rule needs to be clear that you're looking for the people that have not turned in an absence and or have just left the room, and somehow we lose our quorum and they're outside or whatever and they don't know that their absence has caused a quorum to be lost. And so I think we looked at Robert's Rules of Order yesterday, and I think the parliamentarian clerk had some ideas on this, and I think it had to do with a motion, right?
In Robert's Rules, it says that only the Speaker can call to the House, and it doesn't require a second. Our rules say that a member can make the call, but it has to be seconded. The reason it doesn't have to be seconded in Robert's Rules is because legitimately, if you don't have a quorum, you can't make a motion.
So maybe it should say not moved, but noticed. If the word was noticed rather than moved, because we have...
And it can't be seconded.
And strike the must be seconded. Yes. So it would say call of the Congress may be noticed at any time by any member. Upon notice. The business pending shall be suspended, the roll shall be taken, and the names of absentees ascertained. Sergeant Arms shall then be directed by the Speaker to compel the attendance of unexcused. Absent members. And then over on them in this way, I think we should show that if you turn in your reason for absence, you're excused. The fact of the absence that you're deemed excused. In other words, the issue here is nobody knows where you are, nobody knows why you're not here, nobody knows what's going on with you.
I don't know about the word excused. Do we have anything that's unexcused? And since 2010, I've never heard anyone say they're not excused. I hear people say all the time, they gave me notice, they're excused. But I mean, really, what does that mean? Is that for our benefit, just for our own conscience? Because there is no unexcused, so what's the point in putting excused in there?
Well,
I mean, if it makes someone feel better or it makes it sound better, that's all it is. Because there's nothing, we've never said unexcused.
Well, I was trying to make a distinction between people that, I mean, he's not, just what I, my discussion before, he or she is not going to be able to go find somebody who's written in and said, I'm going to be in Tulsa at a doctor's meeting today. That's not the point. The point is, where are the people that are supposed to be here and haven't said they aren't going to be here? And maybe they're outside, or maybe they're over at the cheese office, or maybe they're back talking to Shanna, or whatever they're doing.
A car wreck on the way here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a legitimate reason to also wonder where they are. I mean, theoretically, I get in a car wreck on the way to and from Oklahoma City.
You're not excused.
Nobody's going to know.
You won't be excused.
Yeah, I will be.
I'm sure we would send out. Actually, I think we do a very good job. We all know where we come from. And there have been several times on a Monday morning that we've waited on you. There's storms. I can remember at least two or three times where it was raining, it was bad weather, and we knew you were coming from Oklahoma City. And we've stalled 10 or 15 minutes because we're giving you time. Take your time, be safe. You're driving, we know that. Or we've started and we've gone on the air and said, Congresswoman Edwards is making her way from Oklahoma City, the weather's bad, there was a wreck, whatever, whatever. I mean, I think we do a good job of that. I think yesterday really was a very unusual circumstance. And I think that we have identified with the executive branch before we kind of complained about it ourselves, but an actual discussion happened between this branch and that branch where we said, we don't appreciate you doing ribbon cutting ceremonies during the session day. It's, you know, you ask this branch and this body to vote to fund and appropriate things like this, and yet you leave us out. So a dialogue occurred. Moving forward, this administration has said, we will not do that anymore. I mean, I'm not saying that fixed all the problems, but that was a pretty big discussion that happened, and a commitment on both sides to communicate, and for that branch to say, we're sorry, we're, you know, okay, we didn't, we shouldn't have done that.
okay, my point is, not that I have notified you or anybody else has notified that they're going to be late. The problem is, no one has heard from so-and-so. And shouldn't we go try to find them? Because I'm going to promise you, I have had people that were deceased and they missed something and I don't know why, but the body didn't go look for them. And it was a big problem. So the point is, when people are not here and there's not a reason that they're not supposed to be here, shouldn't we have somebody go try to find them? That's what that's about. Not about waiting on, not about knowing. It's about not knowing. Yes.
A thought, an observation is, I've had an opportunity to sit in and be in a gallery down at the state legislature where there's X number of people in there. And there are times when it's full house, and there are times when there are vacant seats because each individual representative is out doing something else at that particular time. Perhaps there's not a vote going on, and maybe they in their schedule said, I can meet you at this time, because there's not a vote going on and I already know how I'm going to vote. And, but I think there is a signal or something, if I'm not mistaken, when a vote's coming up, they all know that we've got votes coming up at 2 o'clock p.m. on this day. And those that are going to cast a vote will be there. They punch their button and it goes up on the screen how they voted yes or no. And those that are absent, that's just it. I don't know if there's any penalties or anything else assessed at that time. That's their thing. For us, with 12 up here, and like Alice is saying, the word excused or not excused, if there's something else tacked along with that, if that's unexcused absent at school, what happens? If it's unexcused, you get suspended for a day or so. I don't know. But here, you know, we're all elected officials. And I think we're all professional at that point. We all have our roles and our own particular values and different reasons to be absent if necessary. So I don't know if the word excused or unexcused needs to be included in our, across the board in our rules, if that be the case. And you know, if we are, somebody's present and they're out here drinking coffee or something and we don't know, they're in the middle of a hard conversation with somebody and boom, the bell buzz goes off, says it's time to convene or it's time to do this. Sergeant at arms, go find Mr. Mason. And he will, if we're here. No big deal, he'll acknowledge that you're being called, and it happened before. Look, I stop what I'm doing, I come in. That's just a simple thing like that. It's not, that means to me that I'm important. Somebody sent somebody after me to sit here because it's important for me to be present, to hear this or to vote on this, and here I am. If I'm present and if he can find me. If he can't find me, he can't find me and I'm not here. That's when somebody needs to know, I think, where that person's going to be absent. Not necessarily if it's, like you said, there's some things when I say it's a personal reason that I can't be here, amen, stop there. There's something that calls me that's personal business. On the other hand, if you know we have medical appointments come up or this or that, or husband or wife is ill, can't make it, or children, you got to call in or something. It's a courtesy to the clerk and everything. I don't know, maybe it is the fact that, you know, maybe we don't need the word excused and unexcused throughout this thing.
Well, I don't care if we use the word excused. We can say sent without notice, but frankly, if I'm not here and nobody's heard from me, I hope somebody comes and tries to find me.
Well, I can only, and if you want to hit that in there, it's not that I'm opposed to it. I think that we're a small group, mm-hmm. and we're this is a small family, and there are several of us that are very connected with each other, even outside of this branch. I can only recall since I've been here, one time, and I really mean one time, where there was not a member here and no one knew where that person was once. And it was like, well, where's so-and-so? Speaker, I don't know. Clerk, I don't know. We all get on the phone trying to reach this person. Couldn't reach him for a while, but then he moseyed in the afternoon. For whatever reason, he hadn't given notice, but I feel, if you want to put it in there, that's fine. Do I think that we will ever have a problem with someone being absent, not knowing where they're at, and then something bad has happened? No, no, I don't. I feel like we're close enough that we're gonna keep trying until we find that person, find out where they're at.
That's, well, I can tell you that I do tell Shanna often, don't I? If I'm out there, send somebody to come find me, because I'm, you know, obviously, well, many of us travel on the roads between places, and, you know, there's a need. I don't know that it'd be nice to think that, I agree with you, that we are mostly pretty connected, but I think there's times when there's people aren't here and we're not really sure what's going on. Anyway, the way it reads right now.
Let me ask you, what route do you take from Oklahoma City? Because, you know, to me, that's pertinent information. If you have a route you take every single time, we need to know.
Well, and I agree. But I also think that when we talk about everybody's own particular values, we need to try to think of this as a body that needs to react according to the body's values, at least when it comes to important things like this. Right now, the way we have it is the sergeant at arms is supposed to go find anybody that's absent. So I think that needs to be cleared up. And that's why I suggested that we say, if you don't want to say unexcused members, say members absent without notice.
I think that's more appropriate.
Okay.
Because really, that's realistically, it's with notice and without notice.
Okay. So the chair would entertain a motion at page 48, line 26, to strike moved and insert noticed.
Second. I hope someone, or...
I'm going to give you the okay. How about if I give you the whole thing?
Okay.
And then after member, insert a period. That's only 27. And strike the rest of the sentence.
Do you have that all down so that you can read it entirely?
Uh-huh. Okay. And then I'm going to give it to her. And then at page 28, insert before business.
Page 28?
I mean, line 28, sorry. Insert before business upon notice, comma. I should probably say upon such notice. And then at line 31, strike the word absent. Four members and insert absent without notice after members. So the rule will read, call of the Congress may be noticed at any time by any member, period. Upon such notice, comma, business pending shall be suspended. Pending business? You like business pending?
No.
Pending business, so let's... change those two words. Pending business shall be suspended, the roll shall be taken, and the names of the absentees ascertained. The sergeant at arms shall then be directed by the speaker to compel the attendance of members absent without notice. There you go, Shannon.
There's a last sentence. The sergeant at arms
shall then be directed by the speaker to compel the attendance of members absent without notice.
To
compel the attendance, what does that mean? The members absent without notice.
Go find them. Get them in here. Tell them
To compel.
Trying to encourage them to be here.
Go get them. Find them.
Chair would entertain that motion.
So move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Okay, next item on the agenda is Congressional Rule 12, which is removal.
One member just texted and said they disagree the speaker should have that duty.
Speaker should have what duty?
Speaker should have what duty?
What duty?
And I'm all for if we get to text now and voice our opinion, but let's make sure.
Well, hold on. Maybe you're texting about something else. Hold on.
There is a cell phone policy.
They can meet here with everyone listening.
Well, the speaker, I don't know what they mean by that, because the speaker doesn't go run around and get everybody. Next item on the agenda is Congressional Rule 12, removal. We got through, you'll recall that we've, over the last year, maybe 2 years, worked through the 12 rules of our Congress, and we got to the point of Rule 12, and we stopped. And Congresswoman Buffalo has pointed out to us several times that that rule needs some work. And the fact that it governs and affects...
This needs a lot of work.
...those beyond the Congress warrants even more reason. Now, I was going to suggest that we, as a body, either task our legislative council...
That's how it ended up right here.
Well...
Between that council and one other person.
Not me.
I know it wasn't
you. Okay. Yeah, I know who the one other person is. But anyway, the alternative, of course, we pay him for these things, is to ask Congressional Affairs to hire a consultant to get, you know, get this worked out. I think that this body's too close to try to do it ourselves. Yes.
I would concur with that. And in addition, I will tell you that 3 years ago, I started working on this rule. And in an effort to be as fair as I could, given the circumstances that we were surrounded by 3 years ago, I reached out to the executive branch, the then executive branch, and received some comments. I worked with Chief Bickhorse and Assistant Principal Chief Terry Mason Moore, and I talked with some other individuals as I started to work on it, and we just, everyone had an opinion, and they're going to. There's always going to be something about this issue, and no one's going to, I mean, not everyone's going to be happy with it. They're just not. I honestly put it down because it was overwhelming. And maybe at the time, given what we were surrounded by, it just wasn't the appropriate time. It was all too fresh, too many hurt feelings. And it just couldn't be worked. But I did put it down because it really became something that I felt like, wow, every time I think I've got something that's fair, a fair process, someone gives me an opinion that I've asked for, you know, that I've asked for, that really shoots this down as something that's not fair, and I really want it to be a fair process. So I don't like what we have right now. I was very vocal about that. But I really think that might, and I don't want to spend the money on it. I don't. But on the other hand, I think that having someone else come in is really and truly the best thing that's not so closely connected with us.
Congressman Mason?
I think it's healthy to have another set of eyes and lenses look over documents, or third party, if you will, look at it. There are a lot of Indian nations out here who have rules of removal that are out there. the state governments, city governments, committees, United States government, they all have rules. One of the things that I'm aware of is that, you know, here we three are, and our 12 members, and, you know, 10 years might be a whole different set of people here, and those rules may not work for that set of 10, and they may change all of it. So whenever we write rules, you know, it's not a permanent thing. I never look at it as permanent. It's something that works for us now, as we're, it's on our watch. And if it works for us and everyone's comfortable with it, then it works. The next group that comes in, another review of it, 10, 12 years, may not work, and they need to be changed or amended. This is a heavy thing when we're talking about removal, and I agree with that. Yeah, we need another. It would be helpful to have another set of eyes on it. I think around the 12, if we all had focused on 12 people here to create a rule along with the committee, we could adjust this and make it work for us here, the 12 that are here. If it doesn't work, I just always feel like it needs to be fixed, it needs to be rewritten. And that's the purpose of this committee. We, if it doesn't work, we hear about it and we need to fix it or adjust it so that it's okay.
And I can't tell you how, and I've thought about this rule. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've thought about it for since we had to use it. I think about it all the time.
Dream about it.
I think about it all the time. I really do. And I can't tell you how I want to change it, but I can tell you very quickly what I don't like about it. I do not like the fact that members of Congress were allowed to kind of bring their own allegations, whether they were true or not. And then we did our committee of inquiry. Some of those individuals that had an allegation were allowed to sit on the committee of inquiry. I have a problem with that. It's conflict. They've already formed an opinion. And anyone who says that they didn't is a flat liar. Anyone who sat on that committee who had already had an allegation had formed an opinion. It's human nature. And then we voted, you know, whether someone was guilty or not, after an opinion had been formed, after they brought the allegation. I just don't think that's right. I think that this body is obviously charged by the Constitution in voting, but the committee of, I don't know, it's complex. I understand we need the information to vote, but I think that it could have been handled much differently. And for all fairness, I think that the Osage people think that this rule is unfair.
Okay, here's my thought. We asked the Congressional Affairs Committee to put out an RFP to have an individual that's qualified, research, attend a Rules Committee public hearing on the issue, and then revise Congressional Rule 12 and submit a draft to the Congress members through the chair in June. And then whoever's on this committee next fall can work on getting something passed.
You want to have a meeting on this in June?
No.
Oh.
I want to have the meeting on it before June.
I can do before June. I'm not going to do during June.
And by that I mean, no. No, I wanted them to have the draft ready in June. I wanted to have hearing, you know, in the next 3 weeks. And that hearing will be for the, in the next month. The hearing will be for the opportunity to hear from the community. Everybody that's an Osage member that wants to voice an opinion on what went right with the rule, what went wrong with the rule. You know, I understand that some might come and say, I didn't like the outcome of the trial, which is not really the issue. The issue is the process. And if you don't think that we need to have an opportunity for the public to voice, then we don't have to do that. But we definitely, in my opinion, need a third party to do some research. At least, I mean, I'm trying to have that person get the experience and hear from, maybe they just need to hear from the Congress members with an opportunity to have a rules meeting and have the Congress members' voice on what about the procedure didn't work for them. And maybe that's the start. And then after the rule is revised, of course, this is an open meeting to the public, so the public can always come. Don't know about texting in, but the public can always come and have input at these meetings. So maybe we don't need a public hearing. Maybe we just need a meeting where this is listed on the agenda.
I think that's
sufficient.
I think my thought on this is that I would like to have this be lengthened, the whole process for this committee to look at the solutions, and put a deadline, say within 12 months, we'll be at a point to change the rule if necessary. But within that time, that's when we can get this block of time, we can do this block of time, the third party can do this block of time. We'll be in session again or something and set aside some time to do this on the floor. This is an important thing. Mm-hmm. Not for us or on our watch, but maybe in the future that this may come up again. And if so, it needs to be refined, polished up, so the result may be different or may not be different, but the process we can work on. I'm just thinking, don't have to do it just in May or June of right now, this next 60 days. I don't think we need to do it then. But we can think in terms of trying to get to something within 12 months. You know, give everyone a chance to look and see. That's just my thoughts. I'm not that much of a hurry to get it. I just want to give ourselves time, everybody involved time, to look at this.
Chair would entertain a motion to authorize the rules chair to present to Congressional Affairs a request to contract a qualified professional to research and revise Congressional Rule 12 and submit a draft.
I have a question. What? Qualified, who are you? Are you thinking a lawyer? Are you thinking, I mean, there's no, I can't think of any field out there where there's a person sitting around, that's their field of study, is a removal process. So who are you thinking? Are you thinking a lawyer?
Not necessarily, no. Somebody that deals with ethics and process. Okay. And
I think that you need to be specific in that.
Well, we discussed, we didn't have a second on that, so I could add an opinion.
Second.
Oh.
Well, actually, I don't even have a motion.
Well, let's since discuss we before, that, yeah,
I can revise my motion.
I'm thinking, you said research and do something. I'm thinking review research. Somebody needs to review our stuff first.
Okay.
Then they need to research and do whatever. And the people who do that, when I went through Robert's Rules of Training with others here on staff, the trainers at that time were looking at some of our stuff. Everyone brought their rules and stuff. The trainers at Robert's Rules were pretty knowledgeable about Robert's Rules and the things that go along with it. Then I begin to think of the other tribes that are here in Oklahoma, for example, that have their own tribal councils and so forth. They too have already established their removal processes. And whoever we get to look is probably going to look at those things first. How do other Indian tribes do this? Is it that lengthy a process, is it a smaller process, or what? And with that, they usually have their own legal people have their legal jargon on that and put it in there. I don't know, I'm just thinking that I need another person. I'm not an attorney. I'm not this or that. But you know, if it's something that this important, yeah, we need somebody. Mm-hmm. And whatever the qualification is, or what, I don't know that part yet. But well, I guess you'd be asking CA just to
Well, with this, is with this permission, we can work on what the RFP would say.
Okay.
And then.
Did you make the motion?
I did make the, I know, I entertained the motion. Let's have the clerk read it back.
I have a motion to authorize the rules chair to present to the Congressional Affairs Committee a request for permission to hire.
I'm sorry, change that to contract.
Contract. A qualified professional to review the current rule, Congressional Rule 12 for removal, research and revise Congressional Rule 12 and submit a draft to the Congress members through the rules chair.
That's it.
Second.
I need the motion.
You entertained the motion.
So moved.
You did.
Second.
I entertained somebody to make it.
I made it.
Okay. Motion by Congressman Mason, second by Congresswoman Bufflehead. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Any further business of this committee? Yes, Congressman Mason.
Block of time, was there something in your mind as when we start, if we get approval from CA, what is your, as chair, kind of block of time? We're going to ask somebody, contract somebody to do this and give them 200 days or 100 days to get this done, or I don't know, just think about it.
Okay, I don't know why they need more than a couple months, but.
Well, once they get the contract, yes. 60
right.
days, 90 days.
Right. And then it'll get back, and then hopefully this body will work it. I would think it would be worked through in a regular session.
Yes.
So that there's enough time to have meetings on it.
Sure.
Anything else?
Question to adjourn.
Second.
All right, we're adjourned. Thank you.
What's next? 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
All right.
We'll get something to eat.
Got a couple of appointments here.